This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Welcome once again to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to. But you probably should. On today's show, we're going to be drinking Willett Pot Still Bourbon. It's going to be delicious, but before we get to that, we need to get down to just a little bit of business. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in today. Please hit the subscribe button, leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts app, or anywhere else that you can get a podcast and leave ratings and reviews. That helps us a ton, helps us know what you're thinking about the show, what you like, what you don't like, what we can do differently. Wow, man.
You got this.
It's a new year. If you want to play a bigger part, go to patreon.com/chillfiltered. That's the business. Here's the podcast. Well, Cole, it's official. You don't live in Wisconsin anymore.
I live in Arizona.
You live in Arizona. You know, the thing is you're still here. We're recording this in Madison. You're still with us, and for that, I am glad. But I was thinking just this week that we actually need to sit down and figure out how we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We should try and do some tests.
Yeah.
You got to get some equipment.
Yeah. So you got to recommend it.
Well, I already recommended one thing to you.
That's true. Yeah. So send me that link.
Yeah. You missed it. You know, this weekend was a good time to buy it.
Oh, man, I didn't think of that.
So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But yeah, we should sit down this week and try and test what it's like to do it over the phone or whatever it's going to be. So, hey, how are you?
I'm well. I might be seeing one of my favorite bands tomorrow.
Mm.
I put it, you know, here's how I roll when there's a concert in town. Of a band that I could see but don't need to see. I just put out a price tag that's a little lower than even like what the ticket price might be, and I'm like, if you're trying to get rid of a ticket, I'll give you cash. And I did that, and people are starting to hit me up day before the concert tomorrow.
So you just put something like on Craigslist?
Yeah,
on
Craigslist, And I'm just like, hey, $65 when the tickets are $70 typically, but like people are going to want to get rid of it. So I'm like, I'm going to see the Smashing Pumpkins tomorrow. So
yeah.
It'll be nice.
I one time was, Ashley and I both, we were gifted some tickets, and we were meeting a couple there.
Oh, cool.
To, you know, do a double date thing. And it's for the band Copeland, if you're familiar at all. And Copeland is one of my favorite bands.
Oh, cool.
So we get there, and the wife and this couple, we were going to meet them there. And like on our way there, they texted and said, hey, she's super sick.
Ooh.
The tickets are at will call.
Mm-hmm.
They're yours. If you can get somebody to show up and hang out with you guys, have fun tonight. So super awesome. Very, very generous. Nice gift. But, you know, what were they going to? They couldn't use them. And so we called a bunch of our friends. Mm-hmm. This was maybe a year and a half ago. And nobody could come out. It was, you know, so last minute. And I believe it was a work night anyway.
Oh, for sure.
So it was kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just kind of stood outside and had a cigarette for a while. And show was about to start. And two people came up to the window and like, are there any more tickets? And they're like, yeah, you can still buy two more. And
you're
I just walked up and said, these are on me, and gave them to them.
Oh, that's super sweet.
And I said, just have some more fun tonight. Drink responsibly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was fun.
So did I ever tell you that when I lived in Colorado, I won things on the radio like it was my job?
Oh, man. No, you haven't, but I've had that experience as well, but you go ahead.
When I lived in Colorado, there was one station where I won so many times that I had to call my shots more.
Sure.
Because you can only win once a month under the same name. So I would win
give a friend's
all the
name?
Time.
Because have to go in and provide an ID, right?
More so than not, I would give other people's names because sometimes I just enjoyed the thrill of winning. I went to a wedding in about a year ago, and while I was there for the wedding, I won something on the radio. I won like tickets to, or no, I won a free beer kit, or not a kit, but like a, you know, a basket, basically. And I, at one point, I'm a big Brand New fan, And I bought tickets to the show that they were doing. And then like a week before, this specific radio station put two tickets on the thing. And they said, you might know this answer. They said, what was the album after Weezer's Blue album?
What was the Weezer album?
Yeah, what was the Weezer album?
Well, so it's, oh man. Is it Blue?
Is Blue after? Is the first album. So
no.
What was after? Yeah, Blue is their... Was there
Pinkerton's not first?
Pinkerton's after.
Yeah. Pinkerton's after Green?
Yep. Or Blue. No. It goes Blue, Pinkerton. And okay. Then I think Green was next.
Didn't you just say what was the album after Green?
No, I said Blue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought you said after Green.
Oh, no, you're good. Okay. And so I was like, Pinkerton, and I got tickets to the brand new show, and then I sold them for more than I even bought my tickets for because it was sold out, and I did that a lot.
Yeah. You're one of those secondary market guys.
Only for the
for a while would win crazy like that.
Really?
As well. I remember as a senior in high school, there's one day where this station's not in town anymore, but the alternative station.
Oh, there was a good one here.
Oh, there used to be some. Yeah. But it's weird that this is an alternative station and they were giving away tickets for this person.
Oh no.
Every, 3 hours, they were giving away tickets to a Ben Folds concert.
Oh, nice. That's alternative.
I mean, Ben Folds called him the Ben Folds Five. He said, our music is punk rock for sissies.
True.
And anymore today, he's, adult contemporary.
He kind
he's
of
not,
is.
He's
but
not
like,
alternative.
You know, back
he's
in never, his heyday, he was
never been alternative.
He's been
pop rock his entire career.
I don't know. He listened to, Brick, and that doesn't sound pop rock.
What alternative is a style? Brick is pop rock. It's just a ballad.
I agree, but then what people call alternative on the radio stations is Brick, or at least was 10 years ago.
All right, I don't agree with you, but I called and won.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been calling all day because, I said, it was every 2 or 3 hours, and and then we were over at my buddy Ian's house swimming in his pool, and everybody had their phones along the edge of the pool. Mm. And I was like, when you hear Brick start playing, you have to call.
Mm.
And so everybody would pick up their phones and go, and everybody had agreed. If I win, you're going, you get the tickets. And, but I ended up being the one who actually got through.
That's pretty cool.
And then I had this thing where in 3 days, this was just a year and a half ago. I won tickets on Facebook because a local venue had something up for this a guy named David Bazan. Are you familiar?
I know Dave Bazan. Yeah.
Pedro the Lion, David Bazan.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they just had a picture of David Bazan and was like, tell us who you'd take to this concert.
Oh, cool.
If you won tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 2 days away from Ashley and I's wedding anniversary. I said,
oh, cool.
I said, I'd take my wife because it's our wedding anniversary and be a great treat. And so then they messaged me you won.
Nice.
And then 2 days later, I won tickets to, it's not Tom Petty, but it's
that
same
scene.
Realm.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy was playing here at an outdoor venue and I won tickets at
night?
No, different night. And so I all the time will catch the tail end of I was flipping radio stations and heard caller number 9 wins. I didn't have any idea what it was about. I was like, well, all right, I know the number. I'm going to start calling.
Yeah.
And I won and then had no idea what the concert. And the guy entries and who do you love?
And you guys.
I was like, because he specifically was like, what band is your favorite band? And I was like, this one.
That's what I did one time.
And then I sold those for $100 a piece.
Oh,
it was
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. So this has been a fun little chat.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with whiskey, but as I said, we're drinking the Willett Pot Still Bourbon. It's a bottle that I actually bought for Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And I am looking forward to it because it's in a strange looking bottle that
and
looks
never
like a
had
pot
it.
Still. I've mm-hmm. never had it. But before we get to that, we're going to hear a little bit about Willett, but before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break. All right, back from break here on Chill Filtered. And as we've mentioned a few times, we're drinking Willett Pot Still Bourbon. It's a nice reddish-looking bourbon. But yeah. Before we get too much into about the actual liquid and what it's like, Cole's going to tell us a little bit about Willett.
Yeah. Willett's a really cool company. I'll talk about that first. It's out of Bardstown, Kentucky. It is family-owned and has been since 1936, soon after Prohibition was repealed. Believe it or not, actually, I want to ask you, I want to see what you think. How many, it's a smaller distillery, how many employees do you think it employs?
I hate these questions. Here's why I hate them. Because
you're always going to be wrong.
12.
You're really close. Yeah.
My first answer was going to be 14.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, you would have been right first.
Really? It's 14?
It was 14 in 2011. Which is the most recent, how many
census?
People were. Yeah, census. Yeah, that's a better way to put it. But they're also known and had been known as Kentucky Bourbon Distillers, KBD. If you ever see KBD in your research, no, it's probably the Willett kind of bigger brand. And it's not like owned by KBD. It is KBD. Recently, though, they started going by the Willett name more so. In like 2012, they really started amping up the Willett name once again. But it's like a bigger company. They own, what were some of the other ones? Noah's Mill, Old Bardstown. Those are technically KBD products.
Sure.
So Willett only does bourbons and ryes. Ranging from 2 to 28 years. Now, this one in particular we'll get to in a second, but their other product is called the Willett Family Estate line. And the one I mentioned at one point for Christmas, we talked about Willett 3-year rye.
Yeah.
That's a Willett Family Estate bottle, and they are fantastic. And I can't even explain how good they are. I guess I'll get to that in a second, but. They actually don't distill a single product from the early 1980s to January 2012. They were a complete non-distilling producer for that long.
Wow, that's a long time.
Super long time. But they put out fantastic products even though all that time. But they only source Kentucky whiskey, whether it be bourbon or rye. It's only Kentucky. Most people will assume it is from Heaven Hill Distillery, which is actually just right down the road, technically, in Bardstown as well.
Sure.
I mentioned there were two products. There's the Willett Family Estates. So they're usually cask strength and single barrel. I had a 7-year one time that was like, it was hot. It was like 130-something proof. And it was just fantastic. But it was also a single barrel, which was really cool. I really, really respect cast strength single barrels like that Jack Daniels I got you for Christmas.
Yeah, that I still haven't cracked yet.
We'll crack it soon.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, if they're not cast strength, they will be single barrel, but they are usually, or they might be, 110 proof, which is the Willett 3-year rye I have. That is a 110 proofer. I had a 7-year, and that was just probably one of the greatest ryes I've ever had in my life, if not better than like Thomas H. Handy status. I've sadly finished that bottle. We used to have a 13-year rye.
You finished your Thomas H. Handy?
No, my Willett 7-year.
Okay.
We used to have a 13-year bourbon at the bar I used to work at. It went out really quick. But that bottle, easily $1,000. A 13-year bourbon, $1,000. That's how big the Willett Family Estate line is. You can get a 13-year on the shelf for like $70 for another brand, but Willett has a high notoriety to it. Excuse me.
Oh,
I got a hiccup.
Cole's getting choked up over this.
So even the 3 years are really rare in the Willett Family Estates, and very expensive. But the other option is the Willett Pot Still, which I can't say is rare. I can't say it's not rare.
Oh, because it is somewhat. It didn't seem rare to me when I bought it.
At the liquor store I worked at, or work at until this point,
you don't work there anymore.
Had it. Yeah, at this point.
At this point,
you do not work there. But they usually had it, but not a lot of companies do. I mean, it's like semi-rare.
Sure.
So it's not easy to find, but you can find it if you look hard enough. So this Willett Pot Still Bourbon is a straight bourbon. It used to be a single barrel, but lately it's been a small batch, and it's always 94 proof, so 47% alcohol. And it's in the 8 to 10 year. They don't give it an age statement, but it is in the 8 to 10 year. interesting bottle. The first time I was introduced to this bottle, I heard the word phallic.
It's shaped
like a pot still.
Somewhat phallic. I don't know that I would.
I didn't think that either, but the first time I was introduced to this bottle, they're like, yep, looks a little phallic to me. And get this,
I'm getting it.
Being a non-distilling producer for so long, this product is not a will it distill it. Like, it's not will it juice.
Sure.
But maybe one day it will be, because since 2012, they started putting their own juice into their products. But this one in particular is probably, but might not be, from Heaven Hill.
Oh.
And that's all I got for background.
That's all you got. That's great, because we're coming up on...
time to drink?
I almost forgot to hit mute on the break music.
Oh, yeah.
Like I do sometimes. Yeah. And it was starting to creep along the edge. And I was
you caught it. Nice.
So, hey, I'm excited for this break, because after this break, it means we get to drink.
Yes, sir.
So let's take a quick break. All right, once again, back from break here on Chill Filtered, and Cole is manhandling my glasses.
You got a chip in this glass.
I know, that's my special one.
Oh, cool.
Like we've been talking about, we're going to drink the Willett Pot Still Bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
You should look it up.
Cool looking bottle.
It's an interesting bottle.
Interesting is a better word.
I know we talked about that we can't say that it's not rare, but Cole, how much is this going to be going for, do you think?
I'm blanking at this point. They do sell 750s, and they also sell 1.75 liters. But in your research, you have found that Willett Pot Still typically ends up being about...
Cole is stalling while I'm looking up on my laptop.
But I'm going to cut this. So normally every whiskey has a little...
Do you need a knife? I don't have a knife.
No, you're good. This one's got like a almost a fabric-y... what do you call it? Like upper tape seal?
Yeah.
It
looks like... is this Willett Pot Still Reserve?
That's correct. Yeah, the Reserve.
The Willett Pot Still Reserve, according to our friends, who we haven't visited in a while on the show, but according to our friends at TotalWine.com, Willett Pot Still Reserve is going for about $65.99.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we say, give or take a few bucks. Oh, there was no pop on that.
That was the weakest pop ever.
Put it back in and pull it out. Put it back in again.
There is no sound to this.
Put it back in.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
I put it right next to the mic.
There's nothing.
It's almost as if the
there's
cork
this great
is just...
Netflix show called Big Mouth.
Uh-huh.
It's about puberty. It's a cartoon.
Oh, that's great.
It's Nick Kroll and that's a great
that's
pouring
a sound.
But there's a character called the Hormone Monster.
Okay.
There's no way to drink this quietly.
Well, at least it's got some sound to it.
I was basically just doing the Hormone Monster. The Hormone Monster is like, I mean, imagine being a boy going through puberty and having something called a Hormone Monster. So it's basically always like, yes, rub yourself. But it's, I wish I had a teenage boy. Son. I don't know if I can continue this episode.
You looked so like you looked at me like
I wish I had a teenage boy. No, I wish that I had a young prepubescent.
Yeah. Keep going.
No, I wish I had a child, a son. Here's a better way to say this. Someday when I have a son who's going through the early stages of puberty.
You're going to whisper things to him?
No, I'm going to sit down and watch this show with him because it's such an accurate representation of what puberty is.
Yeah.
And it's delightful and hilarious and dirty and gross.
What's it called again?
Big Mouth.
Okay, I got to check it out.
It's Nick Kroll, and I wish I could remember the other actor's name. John Mulaney.
Oh, John Mulaney, yeah.
So, yeah, it's great. What are we doing again?
So we're drinking.
I wish I had a teenage boy.
I've already nosed this. And It is really different.
That's going to be a t-shirt, I feel.
Oh, like. We should. Yeah, once we get Drop a Cube shirt, we're going to have, I wish I had a teenage boy
or
shirt.
Or at least like a button.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, we won't do that, actually.
True.
Let's just bring us the best record.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of NAMBLA fans.
What's NAMBLA?
Oh, you don't know about NAMBLA?
Please.
I don't know if we should get into this.
No, it's not.
NAMBLA is the National Association for NAMBLA. National
Associate M.
It might be, there might be no A. So I think it might, I think it's NMLBA.
NAMBLA.
No, I'm sorry. NMBLA. I think it's National Man Boy Love Association. it's a group of pedophiles.
Oh, that's terrible.
Who advocate that
it's not that bad.
Yeah. And wow. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's messed up.
Back to the whiskey.
So the nose on this bourbon is different than almost any other bourbon I've had. I have a note in my head and in the palate that you would be like, oh my goodness, it's that. But I won't do it until you sip it. Color? Yeah, it's dark.
You have had this before?
I have, plenty of times. Yeah. It's, will it?
It smells like stuff. Hay.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But I got a note that you're going to be like, dang it, that's it.
In the nose and the palate?
Yep, very much so. Yeah.
Well, don't tell me until I've tasted and see if I can.
I'm going to go over
too.
The sip before you do.
It's nice, dark honey color.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I am honestly getting like that, like a fresh hay bale.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a negative way at all, like a good smell.
It's even more so on the palate that you'll get this note.
All right,
dig deep.
I'm going for it.
Yeah, he's going for it.
Yeah.
So the bottle, of course, it looks darker because if you look through it, it's a pretty, at the base of the bottle, it's pretty dense. I don't know how to say it. Like, it's wide. So it looks darker because you're looking through more.
Red Hots.
A little bit of cinnamon, sure. Candied peanuts. Or like,
Have you ever had
peanut brittle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's peanut brittle.
I don't taste that at all.
Not at all? That is only what I taste when I sip this.
I will say this. It immediately gets you a little bit nervous because it immediately is, you're almost like, oh, this is going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it like mellows really quickly.
Oh, yeah. You get almost zero hot once it's like past that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting peanut brittle at all?
No.
Man.
I got that cinnamon.
But did it fade pretty quickly? You know, we had the, what was it? The little book.
I can smell peanut brittle.
Okay, cool. I'm happy. I got what I wanted. But yeah, we had the little book the other day. We talked about cinnamon.
Yeah.
And this is a cinnamon, but the other cinnamon faded. With the little book, with the little book, it lingered.
It lasted forever.
Long time. This one, I'm not getting any cinnamon left on my...
No, it doesn't stay. Yeah. It's there for a little bit and then just is like, see ya, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I like it. But it's so different. I'm dropping a few drops. Any,
kind of medicinal... My last sip without the water.
Yeah.
You're
getting something crazy?
I don't know if it was just that I was spinning it and then immediately brought it up to my nose, but like the vapors. I got the vapors.
The vapes.
Oh, no, it's
of
just...
Of what? Of like alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, it is like real strong alcohol now to me.
Yeah, it definitely muted the whole nose when I added one drop of water. Yeah. Peanuts are still there for me, though.
I'm going to guess this is not going to be as good with water and ice.
It was, to me, it was the same with ice or water versus neat.
Ooh, you know what? That feels a little bit hotter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a little bit. Got the tiniest little cube in my glass.
Yeah. It's fitting.
Dropping cube. Why is it fitting?
Well, you don't have much left.
More than you do.
That's true. I'm not running high. I feel like this glass is throwing me off because it's wider.
Wider.
Why?
Take a break.
Have we talked to the listeners about my...
I don't know, but Cole one time was trying to...
It's like five episodes... No, probably seven episodes
ago. Who knows how long ago it was, but Cole was one time trying to throw us to break.
Well, you kind of threw me off.
Yeah.
Well, you were like, so what time is it, Cole? I'm like,
So here's the thing, is that I know this about myself. I'm a bit of a control freak.
Yeah, yeah.
I like things done my way. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize that this is our show. So, you know, I'm usually the one who's doing the framework of the show, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing the intros, I'm doing the throwing it to breaks, this, that, and the other. And I usually do that, I typically do that because I know that I know what I'm
doing. You're going to do it right,
And, you know, I had an idea for this show. We came up with this idea together.
Yeah, for sure.
But I had, as a podcaster, as somebody who does other ones, I had an idea of what it should look like. Mm-hmm. And, but so there's sometimes where we're doing the show and I'm like, you know what? Cole's not going to get better unless I let him do it. So I'll very last minute be like, hey, throw it to break.
You'd be like, you were like, guess what? It's time, Cole, to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, take a break.
Yeah. He was like, take a break. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Never mind.
Like, never again, Cole.
Oh, my cube has almost all melted. So,
it's
gotten sweeter on the nose, by the way.
For me, with the ice, it became too opened and too nutty, honestly. Just, I preferred it neat or with ice or with the water.
I think you're probably right because that was the first time I tasted anything like nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tastes like nuts.
It was the first time I tasted nuts.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. This month.
It kind of got a little sweeter for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But
it didn't get that sour.
Very nutty.
Yeah, super nutty. Didn't get that.
I like it, though.
Yeah. No, it's good.
As a whole, I like the drink.
To be honest, I've only had, in terms of the Willett bourbons, I've only had this one. I've never had a Willett Family Estate bourbon. I've had many rides.
Have we had anything other Willett on the show?
We've had the only in the vaulted
episode. Is
that a
lost episode? Yeah.
We had the comparison of the 7 to 3 year.
That's right.
And
and you killed one of those bottles.
Yeah, the 7 year died that day.
We didn't air it.
We will one day.
Yeah, one day when we're like, we need an episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
And we're like, see how bad we were when we started. How bad.
You know what's so funny?
See how much better we are.
No, yeah, it's not about being bad. It's about being inexperienced.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I will sometimes, you know, my first podcast is Madison Story Slam.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing that, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing Madison Story Slam longer than 4 years, but we started doing it as a podcast. And I will go back and listen to some of my... Because, you know, what we do is we record storytelling events and we put those online. But I also do long-form interviews with interesting people.
Yeah.
I will go back and listen to some of the first interview episodes I ever did. And I had never interviewed anyone in my life.
Oh, wow.
I had just listened to a lot of interview podcasts and thought, I'd like to do that. So sometimes I'll go back and listen to those and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. So as we record this, I am actually having one of those original guests back on in a week from now.
Oh, cool.
As this is airing, it's already been out for a couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
but it's a guy named Dean Strang.
Okay.
He is the lawyer for Stephen Avery, who is in the Netflix documentary Making a Murderer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I am excited that I get to interview him
again
as somebody who actually has done plenty of interviews now. Not that I'm the best interviewer, but like I've learned a lot from my mistake.
4 years does a lot.
And, so yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
But, I'm also kind of killing time cause we're a little bit early on everything.
We met in a Story Slam interview.
That's true.
Yeah. The many moons ago.
Another episode that never aired.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I still have the recordings from that somewhere, but
is it? No, because you wanted to record me afterwards, but that's well done and done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We couldn't do
never
that.
Never going to happen.
Yeah.
But Story Slam was great last time.
It really was. Saying. It yeah. was. So November's Story Slam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just because, again, this is coming out in January.
Yeah.
Just a great night. Tons of great stories.
There was not one bad story that night.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. And I will go ahead and say that there are some people who came and told stories who mm-hmm. usually tell bad stories.
And they told good stories.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other exciting thing going on with Story Slam right now is we've started live streaming it.
Yeah.
And so the video goes out live on Facebook third Saturday of every month, 7 p.m. Central Time, if you want to join us. But then I also, it gets recorded.
Yeah.
So then I come home and I can edit all of the video into individual stories instead of just a 3-hour long thing. Mm-hmm. So we just started doing a weekly, for the last month and a half now, we've been doing a weekly YouTube show. Mm-hmm. If you search Madison Story Slam on YouTube, you can find the YouTube channel. I know people don't necessarily want to hear about my other podcasts, but I'm excited about it. We've got a lot of great stories lined up to be coming out on the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And the more that grows, honestly, here's the thing, guys. The more that podcast grows, the more this one can grow. Because for sure. I make a little bit of money off of Madison Story Slam. Mm. So money that I make off of Madison Story Slam really just goes back. It goes back into podcasts as a whole to make all of them better, whether it be equipment or whatever. So, I don't know how we got
on
that.
So if you're
tangent.
In Madison on the third Saturday of every month,
that's right.
At least besides the summer.
That's right. Come to Wilmar Center.
Seriously. I mean, like.
And even if you're not, even if you're not in Madison, honestly, we had people at the last one. From all over the country, that's tune cool. in live on Facebook.
That's cool.
So it was awesome. Hey, will it pot still?
Boom.
Bourbon. Will it blend?
No.
Oh, okay.
Will it distill it? No.
Have you ever seen that? Will it blend? The YouTube series?
Oh, is it like from you blend throw a few tech? Things together and mm-hmm. see if it like...
Yeah.
I've seen a few other will it something, you know.
Rhett and Link.
Oh, cool. They've
on
done
YouTube.
That. Yeah. Those are great guys.
Good Mythical Morning. They always have their Will It episodes.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's like, it's usually about food. So it's like, Will It Cake?
Yeah.
And they take random food and try and make a cake out of it. Or like, Will It Taco is one of their best ones.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I've seen a few of those.
Anyway, Will It Pot Still Bourbon. It will pot still bourbon, by the way. What do you think? What are you giving it?
You know, I wouldn't give it the 8 realm, but I'd give it a mid to high 7 realm. I give it a 7.6.
I was actually in the 6 realm.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, but it's not blowing me away.
Yeah.
It's nothing that
I'm with you.
I was like, oh, yeah, I got to have this on my shelf, which honestly, kind of looking at it, when I remember when I went to go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't seeking it out or anything. Yeah. But when I went to go buy you a bottle of whiskey.
You're like, phallic, done.
I said, I want to buy the weirdest looking bottle.
Nice.
And that was the weirdest looking one on the shelf that day. But I also remember thinking, it's like, you know, it was like $60 at your store, I think. And I just remember thinking, they're doing something with this bottle. They're trying to be crazy to mask something that's not going to blow you away. By all means, that does not mean that it's a bad whiskey. No. It's not.
It definitely doesn't blow me away.
It's nothing special. It's good, but it's nothing special. So, all that said, I think I'd go 6.7.
6.7?
Maybe 6.6.
Like
6.
We did 7.6.7. 7.6.6.7.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's good.
It's not bad.
Is it time for another portion of our episode?
Of whiskey?
Of whiskey, perchance?
No. Cole, stop trying to...
throwing you off.
Take a break.
Hey.
Everybody, Cole's right. I mean, Cole, do you want to give this a shot?
Yeah.
All right.
Give me a second. Talk for a little bit while I formulate in my head.
Cole needs, like, Cole is like the character Dewey Cox, where he has to think about his whole life before he performs.
So, listeners, I think it's time for our favorite part of the show. Did I say port? Because I was about to say portion and part.
You were about to say portion, and you're like, port.
Listeners, this is time for our favorite portion of our show. It's called Whiskey World News.
Cole, I loved your port in that. That was great. That port you did was so good.
Port of the show.
So now we've got take a break and port. Port.
This is why you don't put me on the spot.
Put me on the pot. Poit. All right, so welcome to Whiskey World News, the part of Chill Filter, or the part of what? Chill Filter, where we read an article from the internet about whiskey. It's nothing we wrote. We're not authors. Unless you go to whiskeygoals.com.
I'm an author.
Where you can read Cole's stuff about whiskey.
Write a new post.
You should, because you haven't. But yeah, we read an article from the internet. We give credit to the website. We give credit to the author. Then we talk about it. So today's today's article is coming from Forbes.com. Title, or no, the author of the article is Larry Olmsted. Again, it's Forbes.com from Larry Olmsted. Title of the article is New Irish Whiskey is Ireland's First Rye-Based Whiskey.
Wow.
It's going to be interesting, I'm sure. This is a long article, so I'm going to try and get through it. Here we go. Forbes.com, Larry Olmsted, New Irish Whiskey is Ireland's First Rye-Based Whiskey. Rye has been exploding in popularity in recent years, and for good reason. Rye tastes great. It is typically an exceptional value, and it expands the flavor profile that bourbon lovers crave.
But does it expand in your mouth?
The most popular bourbons are mostly what are known as high rye recipes, the closest other whiskies to actual rye. Irish whiskies have also been booming in popularity, and in the recent past here at Forbes, I have reported on some of the new rye launches. In parentheses, read about the recently introduced Jack Daniel's rye here, and about a favorite rye of mine here. And newest Irish whiskies, read about blah, blah, blah.
He's like, I write all the things.
I write these things about whiskey. Now, for the first time in modern history, the two trends have converged with the release of this week of Kilbeggan Small Batch Rye.
Wow.
It's double distilled and matured in Ireland's oldest continually licensed distillery, more than 260 years old. It is the first whiskey to be created from the ground up at the Kilbeggan Distillery. Since its restoration was completed in 2010 and was 100% distilled and matured there. The new spirit is twice distilled in Kilbeggan's copper pot stills, one of which claims to be the world's oldest whiskey pot still in operation and bottled at 86 proof. Huh. It is important to note that rye whiskey means different things in Ireland, and the U.S. American rye must... Okay, I see what they're doing. Means different things in Ireland. The U.S. American rye must contain 51% or more rye by law. While this does not apply to Canada, the world's other major producer of rye whiskeys, some of the finest domestic ryes contain 90 to 100% of the grain. While many bourbons, which must similarly contain 51% or more corn, have 30% or more rye. This is the case with Kilbeggan Small Batch Rye, which contains approximately 30% rye, not enough to meet the standard for American rye, along with the malt and barley Irish whiskies are known for. This harkens back to an earlier period in Irish history when it was common to use rye, and many prominent Irish distilleries did, especially in the mid-19th century. This article is ridden with grammatical errors. Oh, what? We don't got to shit on Irish people.
I don't know what they do.
You're right, racist. However, the spicy grain virtually disappeared from the Emerald Isle distillation in the era of our Prohibition and the Irish War of Independence. Following the restoration of Kilbeggan Distillery, the oldest licensed distillery in Ireland, our team was inspired to create this remarkable whiskey rooted in Irish distilling heritage, said John Cashman, Beam Suntory Global Brand Ambassador for Irish Whiskey. It is a truly unique spirit featuring a rare mash that has produced a flavor unlike anything available today. Beam Suntory makes some of the world's finest whiskies from America to Japan and is the third largest spirits company. The lower rye mash bill means that the flavor profile is appreciably softer than the spicy, sometimes aggressively so, domestic rye whiskies. At the same time, it is notably different from similarly high rye bourbons due to the absence of sweet corn. The result is one of a kind rye classic Irish whiskey hybrid. Ooh, that was a mouthful. Wow. While the combination of rye, malt, and barley producing viscous and creamy feel, I don't like the way he wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. It's whiskey from Ireland. It's Irish whiskey with rye in it. Okay.
Sweet.
What do you think? Would you try it?
I would try it. Yeah.
Do you think you'd like it is the real question.
I am really intrigued. Do I think I like it? I might. But I am really intrigued because, you know, European, for the most part, whiskey, whether it be like Scotch or Irish or, you know, whatever, it is barley.
Poor.
And I wonder, did it mention if rye is even, I guess rye is probably grown in Europe as well.
Over there.
But there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
At least of the style they're doing. So I'm intrigued. I would try it if it were less than $50.
I wonder if maybe there are some smaller unknown distilleries that are doing that, you know, locally. You know, like
maybe
like Yahara Bay here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That maybe they're trying some experiments.
Never crossed my mind that like they do that over there probably too, like micro distilleries.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure they do, yeah. But it just never crossed my mind.
Yeah. They're just like us, those Irish people.
Yeah. Those Irishmans.
Do you remember when you shat on some Irishman during this
episode? No. Although he was talking about, he was American.
Yeah.
A writer.
Yeah.
I guess Forbes probably shows that too.
Yeah.
Irishmen are great. Cillian Murphy's the man. And
I always think it's
Cillian. Daniel Day-Lewis. No, apparently it's Cillian.
I know that Irish. It's Cillian, but whenever I read it, I want to say Cillian.
Cillian. What is Cillian Murphy?
Yes.
Did you know that Daniel Day-Lewis was the son of the poet laureate of Ireland?
I don't even know what that means, Cole.
It's deep, man.
What is a poet laureate?
So you ever heard of Robert Frost?
Yeah.
You ever heard of Ted Hughes?
No.
He was a poet. He was the poet laureate of England.
Does that just mean like the fourth like most
the
poet?
Main, yeah, like I think he's like it's not elected.
So I would be considered like the podcast laureate of Madison.
Madison, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be, but there are people who are way bigger
cool
than I am.
But yeah, it's kind of like, I think it's like assigned, like it's not so much like you're the best. It's like, no, you are chosen by by some big force that you are the poet laureate of England. And so, Ted Hughes was the poet laureate of the United States or no. Ted Hughes was the England one. Jack Frost. No, dang it. I just said Jack Frost. Is it Jack? No.
Do you need a moment?
Who's the Frost guy? Robert Frost.
Jack Frost is a fictional character.
I'm so embarrassed. I just said that out loud.
Oh.
Yeah, so Robert Frost was the poet laureate of the United States.
If you say so.
Yep, it's kind of a big deal.
And who was Jack Frost again?
Nothing.
All right, Cole, well, that's going to do Michael it for Keaton. Us today. Hey, do you know what we're drinking next week by chance?
Yes, or did we are going to be drinking the Canadian whiskey. It's Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye.
Ooh.
So it's a Canadian rye whiskey.
I'm excited about that because, as you know, I'm a rye guy.
Yeah. And this won the World Whiskey of the Year 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's $25.
I'm even more excited.
A bottle.
You know, I still want to try that cask strength Lot 40.
Oh, I literally was trying to get you that for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, and I believe it. Yeah. It's got to be tough.
Oh, it's like $300 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gone up. Yeah.
Because retail, it's like 40.
Yeah. But you can only buy it in the Canadian land.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah, I want that so bad. So listeners, if any of you have some Lot 40 cast strength.
A sample at
just
least.
Just a small sample. Yeah. Just send us 2 ounces and we'll get that recorded for you.
And we'll give you a mad shout out.
That's right. And all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so like we said, next week we're drinking the Canadian
Crown Royal
Crown
Northern
Royal
Harvest Rye.
Yes, the Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye. It's going to be delicious, and you should definitely tune in and listen to that. Go buy yourself a bottle so you can drink with us.
Oh, it's one of those cheap ones, so please do.
Yeah, and as always, you can leave us a rating and a review on iTunes or Apple Podcast app. People ask us, what's the best way to help the show? Honestly, that is one of the best ways to help us. It helps us grow. Mm-hmm. When we get a higher rating on iTunes, the more five-star ratings we get, the more likely people are to find us when they're looking for podcasts. And as always, you can go to patreon.com/chillfiltered and become a patron. And you know, when you become a patron, you get access to all of the videos that we've done, some full-length video episodes and things like that. Shout out to Robbie Dedlow for being our patron right now. The only one. He's been there since the beginning. Robbie. He's the best. Hey guys, we love you and we're glad to be doing this. And we'll see you next time here on Chill Filtered. And as always, we hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.